First, I'd like to thank both God and this congregation for the opportunity to speak to you all this evening. This is my first time preaching ever, so please bear with me. I truly appreciate it if you follow along with me to make sure I'm speaking both in truth and spirit. If I need any correction, you'd be a brother or sister to me if you would take it, bring it to my attention after the fact. I'd like to begin by telling you a brief story with a question at the end. You are driving a bus. At the first stop, five people get onto the bus. At the next stop, three people get off the bus and two get on. At the next stop, 10 people get on the bus and six people get off. What was the bus driver's shoe size? I could repeat it if you like, but if you missed it, the story started with, "You were driving the bus." You are the bus driver. The bus driver's shoe size is your shoe size. Hugo, the bus driver is wearing a child's size shoe, 7. The whole point of this silly story is that listening, active listening, is a critical tool we need to keep in practice, and the one that I really believe can be undervalued as an asset for Christians. Evan already read for us our scripture, which was James 1, 19 through 20. Truth be told, in this verse, I saw an excellent lesson already written up. I wanted to talk about being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. But in doing research on the first leg of this lesson, there was so much rich material on being quick to listen that it took over quickly. And I decided it could use our full attention this evening. So tonight, let's focus on what it means quick to hear, particularly who we need to listen to in our daily lives, why we need to actively listen, and how we can improve our listening skills. That having been said, we're going to start by addressing who we need to be listening to. The first person I'm going to address that we need to be listening to should be the most obvious. Granted, the methods he uses to speak to us have changed over the eons. As an example, you can turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 38. I'll be reading from verses 1 through 5. There's a lot of scripture reading this evening, so if you want to follow along, you can. I'll be reading it all for the most part, so if you don't, then you can listen to me if you'd like. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it?" There are countless examples in the Bible of God speaking directly to his people. But I think this is one of the most intense examples I could find of him directly telling us why we should listen to him. Jesus reiterates this in a far less imposing manner in John 13:7. When knowing what he's about to be given up to the cross, washes his apostles' feet. Jesus says, "What I'm doing now you do not understand, but afterward you will understand." God knows so much more about us, about this world and about us, than we could truly ever comprehend. It would only make sense for us to use him as our beginning of our knowledge, as he is truly the only ultimately reliable source that we have. Truths discovered by man have been seen to change over time. We know that you can't use alchemy to turn any metal into gold. The model of the atom, the most basic form of existence, has been reconfigured at least 6 times by scientists, my favorite being the plum pudding model, personally. Most of us now know the earth isn't flat. Most of us. But the wisdom of God is unchanging. It should seem obvious, but the point bears repeating. Why should we bother listening to God? Matthew 7:24 through 27. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it." If we establish our lives on the Word of God, we will have that rock, that foundation, under us to secure us spiritually, both in this life and beyond. God gives us security. Matthew 4:4. But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word of God will provide us not just with life, but with eternal life in heaven with him. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 28, but he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." The word of God will bless us in our lives with the wisdom and foresight that we truly need to live our lives in a proper way. And the book of 1 John in chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Simply put, God listens to us. We owe it to him to listen to what he says via his word. Additionally, it says that if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. How will we know his will unless we read it for ourselves? In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. As Christians today, the Bible is the way God speaks to us. It is his living, infallible word. We ought not take that for granted. If I were to go into all the reasons that we should listen to God, I'd be standing up here literally the entire evening. Let's just go ahead and acknowledge that neither you nor I want that to happen. That having been said, let's move on. If you'd like to turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So according to this verse, we are the body of Christ. Parts of a body must listen to each other to function properly. If I was the pinky finger in a body and I were to touch a hot plate, the nerves would send feedback to the brain to tell Mark the bicep, Karen the extensor carpi, and Conley the pronator quadratus, and of course me the pinky finger, to all pull back to keep the whole body from causing more damage. The connecting nerves of the body facilitate this, and similarly, we keep each other safe by listening to each other and reacting appropriately. The reasons as to why we should continue to listen to each other continue. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we truly listen to each other, we can fall back on each other and share the load. Having these needs met, our primary attention can be freed so we can truly focus on God's law. With so many facets of the world vying for our attention, not to mention our pre-existing responsibilities like home, work, family, we need each other to fall back on to grow as Christians. Having that safety net provides a multitude of opportunities for our growth. Proverbs 12 and 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Brothers, we need to listen to each other as Christians for advice. The only people we can truly ask for direct help with in our lives as Christians are those of other people who have experience with it besides us, these people who share with us a common goal of heaven. With all the combined years of Bible study in this room, we should be able to come up with an answer to any biblical conundrum that could possibly arise. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to listen to each other for encouragement. Our life on earth may be but a span, But in the thick of it, it can be such a burden at times. Coming together with the body of Christ and sharing a common interest in His Word, singing hymns, praying to God, reinvigorates us so we can daily make sure we are doing our best to hold our lives up to His standard, to His Word. I'm going to point out one of our big faults here. I'm just as guilty as the next person, so please don't feel like I'm singling any person out. As a group, a lot of us aren't spectacular at reaching out to others. And I get it, it's awkward to get to know new people. Listen, I've always considered myself as an extrovert trapped in an introvert's body. Once I get to know you, you really can't get me to stop talking. Emily will attest to this, trust me. But the problem I have is getting over the hill of getting to know you, moving past the introvert part of myself. My personal advice is do something uncomfortable. I've never preached before. I've never taught a Bible class before. But this week I'm doing both of those things because the need was there. And I'm super nervous about both of those things additionally. This is not a comfortable thing for me in any way, but you don't make things less awkward by ignoring them. We need to jump in, tackle the awkwardness, and use it to grow for personal growth. In preparing for this very sermon, I've read the more Bible more times than I have in any time in the past 6 months. And personally, whether this sermon is fruitful for anyone else or not, I've been extremely encouraged by what I've been studying and finding a new avenue for my faith. In the same vein, I told Emily about 6 months ago that I wanted to start having people over to her house to be hospitable. Months went by, and we've had nobody over. So we all need to examine our own ways to grow. Find a way to have fellowship with someone you don't already know well, or act upon it, please. Let's all go to Jason's Deli with Dan on Sunday afternoon, or invite a new couple you don't know over to the house for board games. Even if you don't have that much time, send a card, a text, email, whatever you can do. Any little thing you can do will help fill up their bucket to help them feel encouraged, and in doing so, filling up your own bucket with encouragement. So we've acknowledged that we should listen to both God and other Christians. I have a third group of people we should listen to that might sound a little controversial, but just stick with me. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17, verses 20 through 25. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. And for as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not give in temples made with human temples." Sorry, I think that's autocorrect. "Does not live in temple made with human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." To an extent, we need to listen to non-Christians. This is such a powerful passage. I'd like to keep reading, honestly. But I wanted to point out that Paul says he perceived these people before he had spoken to them. He listened to them to point for an opportunity to preach Christ and found an excellent one in this altar. Brethren, if we are listening to those outside of Christ, we need to listen for a way to bring them to Christ. Sorry, I got a little behind there. Mark 16 and 15 says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.' And similarly, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, 'Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.' We are charged with getting God's message out to the world. If we want to reach people with the word of God, we need to be listening for opportunities into conversations about God. We need to be prepared to listen for people who are diligently reaching out to God so we can reach our arms to them and bring them aboard. If we truly blot out the outside world, we are entirely closed off to the potential of growth, of new Christians that we are charged to bring to Christ. I need to do a much better job of this personally, brethren. Working in retail, there are so many conversations between both coworkers and staff going on constantly that I hear that I just let go by without a second thought. Please encourage me to do better about this, and I would appreciate it greatly. Pray for me on this if you can." So we've discussed that we need to listen to God, other Christians, and non-Christians, all for their own reasons. I thought this would be a good time to go into how we can listen, be better listeners. There's not as much scripture in this part, just FYI. According to Julian Treasure, a notable communication expert, about 60% of the time of our conversations are spent listening, but we only retain about 25% of that. Where listening can be the source of our Christian growth or someone else's salvation, we need to try to do better than 25%. What creates such a gap in our listening? According to communication theory and indie conversation, there is a sender, the message itself, a receiver, and the noise. The noise is what reduces our ability to discern the message. Of course, the sender being the speaker and the receiver being the listener. In our lives, noise is taking over. Whether it be TV, anxiety, daydreaming, Facebook, our own personal broadcasting on social media, noise is constantly diverting our attention away from listening to God, Christians, and even non-Christians. Satan is using every tool he must to keep us from knowing God. So Julian Treasure, as a way to combat this, created a anagram in the word rasa, which is a Sanskrit word meaning juice or essence. I don't really know why I picked that particular term, but we can still use it for our application here. Rasa he uses as an abbreviation for receive, appreciate, summarize, and ask. When talking about receiving a message, it refers both to our nonverbal reactions and our attempt to pay attention. If you use body language and appear to remain focused, it encourages the sender or speaker to keep communicating with you. Additionally, this secures that the line is open and will encourage future communication. I do have a verse here. Proverbs 18 and 13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. When we appreciate a message, we fully absorb it, without actively thinking of a response or waiting for an opportunity to interject our own opinion. If there are some moments of silence, take that in and wait. This can be of particular importance when comforting someone. There are many things in life that we can't actively fix, and it's simply better to be there in the time of distress. When we summarize a message, it's generally referring to making sure you understand the message. In personal conversation, you can restate what was said to make sure you understand. This provides positive feedback for the initial speaker as well. Additionally, if you're in a forum where talking back isn't specifically encouraged like this one, which, I mean, take it as you have it, you can take notes, which I'm sure many of you are doing, and I appreciate that. And when we ask about a message, we ask open-ended questions to keep the speaker in communication. While you want to observe silence in conversation with respect, if you want to keep the person talking, do their messages valued? Open-ended questions that require more than a yes or no answer, are a great way to keep the message coming. If you'd like to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 27. This is about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And this was a good summary of all the points that I had here, I thought. And he rose and went, and there's an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Philip heard this non-Christian and saw an opportunity. Continuing on, and he asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" Not even being a Christian, the eunuch saw that Philip would be a good source of information regarding Scripture. Similarly, we can listen to other Christians profess the Word of God. And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of the Scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." They were reading from the inspired word of God here. All three sources of listening are used in this passage. Let's follow along and see what happens next. As I'm sure you know. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch and said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. Through the act of listening by all parties, this man was saved by the grace of God, washed of his sins, and given the hope of heaven with God eternal. In the same vein, if you haven't made your commitment yet to Christ, this passage gives us insight into the steps we should follow next. If you'd like to come forward this evening, repenting of your sins and confessing the name of Jesus Christ, please come forward. And if you feel as though your faith has wavered and would like to make a confession to this group, please come forward so we can address that as we stand and sing.